guys, this is Maddie
and Kenzie Ziegler, and we have a podcast called Take 20. We want to kick back and hang out with you, but we know you're busy, so let's take 20 every week to talk, to vent, to get real. 20 minutes to catch up and talk about everything that's on our minds and yours. Listen with us for 20 minutes when you're in the car, putting on makeup, working out, cleaning your room, avoiding doing your homework. Take a break from whatever you have to do and hang out with us. Listen to Take 20 on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Bayer, and this is my brother, Jonah.
We're two siblings who love to talk about our childhood and nostalgia and how it shaped us into the people we are today.
Who are extremely cool and chill, if I do say so myself.
In our new podcast, How Did We Get Weird?, we'll talk about our favorite snacks, shows, and obsessions from growing up with some of your favorite comedians, musicians, and other A-list celebrities.
Sorry, we're major. Listen to How Did We Get Weird? Starting September 27th from Will Ferrell's Big Money Players Network. Available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Peace to the planet. I go by the name of Charlemagne the God. My mama calls me Lenard McKelvey. See, I thought I just had a face for radio, and some good white people at Comedy Central gave me a new TV show called The God's Honest Truth. Won't God do it? And you know they couldn't contain my blessed, black, and highly favored ass to just 30 minutes once a week. Nope, I'm delivering extended sermons straight into your ears like a dollar store Q-tip. Plus, the check already cleared so I can say whatever the hell I want. Like, cracker ass cracker. See? Listen to The God's Honest Truth on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
He felt around, and he was like, there's two lumps.
Oh,
and I was
God.
Like, what?
Your testicles are actually in your throat.
Yeah. So I had a biopsy on my neck, which was fun, the next day. And it turned out that the reason I had crippling depression and was losing my hair, and the reason I am continuing to lose my hair sort of rapidly to this day, is that I had
All right. Hello and welcome to Bald Talk, the podcast upon which two bald comedians interview bald actors, directors, writers, life coaches, gurus, cult leaders, weirdos, and really anyone who is bald about being bald. I'm Brian Husky. I am bald.
I'm Charlie Sanders. I am also a baldy.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are, Charlie. And Charlie, I'm very excited today about our guest. He is a prolific actor of TV and film. He honestly has way too many credits to list, but here are just a few. He has starred in 10 Things I Hate About You, The Santa Claus 1 and 2, Numbers, The Deuce, Living Biblically, Biblically.
Living Biblically of all, it's, Living Biblically.
Well, this is part of my thing. I always mess up the intro. The Good Wife, and oh my God, so many more. But I did want to mention—
What about my independent art cinema work? My God, go on.
Well, maybe this will cover that. Gigi Does It Again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Gigi Does It?
Yeah, not again, but that's okay.
Okay, there was an again listed on there.
Gigi Does It for the first time.
Yeah, I only did it one time.
You did it again. Which, for my money, is a masterclass in gender bending and age-defying acting.
Thank you.
And, I hope this is true, he plays the bongos?
I do play the bongos.
You play the bongos. I knew that.
And congas, yes. Yeah. In three different Grateful Dead cover bands.
Oh, shit.
We're going to get to that because this part of your life is fascinating.
We're going to talk about the dead? I didn't even know that would happen.
Yeah.
That disembodied voice is our guest today, David Krumholtz. David, thank you for coming to Bald Talk.
Oh, thank you so much. And to prove that I belong here, I guess this is the moment where I show you the top of my head. As you can see.
Oh, he is bald after all.
It's tragic.
You can kind of fake it, though.
You totally can be.
Well, I can. I can use the topics and fill it in.
Yeah.
But any kind of overhead lighting really does it. I obviously have this puffed in front.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You got a front ponytail they can do.
I got a front ponytail. And if you move the front ponytail out of the way, you can see the tragedy, the impending tragedy.
Oh, shit.
Of
okay.
Baldness coming toward, plus the spot in the back, of course.
Yeah, I see that.
If you want, I can curl this up.
Yeah, you
curl
should.
Curl that shit up, bro.
And leave this so in a manner in which, yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny that you exposed your baldness like that because mm-hmm. Husky brought you up and said, oh, let's have David Krumholtz on. And I met you, David, when you were doing a couple times when you're doing Ass Cat monologues at
yeah.
UCB.
Yeah.
and you were hilarious. But I was you're welcome. I was like, well, he's not bald.
Yeah.
And then Husky was like, he is bald. And I was like, no, he's not.
Boy, it kind of killed my first question because I was like, David, let's get into it. Where are you on your balding journey? Because from my point of view, you have a long way to go.
Yeah.
But you did the old tilt down.
Well, yeah, I don't have a much of a look, if I wasn't an actor, and it's certainly if I wasn't a great actor.
You are.
I wouldn't care so much about my hair, you see.
I know.
But I am at a place now where the hair, there's a lot of topics that has to, I'm sure you guys have discussed topics before on the show, right?
We have, yeah. But please tell us your journey.
Yeah.
So the dust, there's a lot of dust that has to be applied more than ever now.
Mm-hmm.
It is embarrassing. You know, I remember in the 10th season or whatever it was of Two and a Half Men, seeing John Cryer on the set of that show, and his whole head was topics.
Oh, wow.
Oh, for real?
Yes. And when, damn, of course, when John is completely bald now, he decided to shave it off.
Right.
But yeah, his whole head, there was very little hair that was his. And so on that show, it was a constant, and how embarrassing that must have been for him to walk around with a full head that of fibers.
Of dust.
Of dust. Yeah.
So he didn't do any jumping scenes. There was no tumbling scenes.
Exactly. You couldn't move.
You know, you weren't. He couldn't be slimed. You know, at these people's the Kids' Choice Awards or whatever the hell that crap is called.
Oh,
and
yeah,
essentially, I am falling into that category somewhat rapidly, and as a result, I have made the appointment.
Oh yeah,
to get a hair transplant.
You're doing it.
I think I'm going to do it.
I will say, you're the first guest to say this.
To admit it.
I'll admit it.
No, it's not an admission, because here's the thing. We've always been like, hey, if you do it, own it. But most people who are going to do it.
Yeah, we don't give a fuck.
Who gives a shit? It's so weird.
I know.
I know a good few people who've done it, who do, you know, who sort of go, it's like they're telling you that they, you know, I don't know, something horrible. I don't want to say a horrible thing.
Right.
But it's like a horrible secret, dirty secret, and I'm not afraid to let people know. I'm probably going to do it. The deposit that was required for the surgery was $5,000.
Okay,
I wasn't thrilled about paying that money, but I see it as a potential investment in my future as an actor.
Would you mind lending me $5,000?
I don't have another $5,000 to lend.
That's from his hair fund.
I am sitting. This is actually a set, and just beyond camera is the end of it's just two windows and a slight bit of wall on either side.
Yeah, and then you're in an alley in New York City.
Correct. I am homeless because of my hair. But yeah, the whole thing costs $17,000. Is the damage at the end of the day? And I'm told,
damn,
this is the person that I'm going to in New York City, where I'm told is the best by every makeup artist and hair person.
Yeah.
Because you know, when you start to go into makeup and hair, and they have to put that much topics on, you'll find that some makeup or hair person will say, you know, this is really too much work for me, and therefore, I really suggest you go see Doctor whoever to go take care of them.
Oh, so the takeaway then is you're doing it for other people in the industry, not for yourself.
I'm correct.
To make people not judge you.
It's guilt. Yeah, it's bad. And because I could go the Stanley Tucci route. Earlier this year, I shaved my head during the pandemic.
Yeah.
To see if there were any unsightly moles, scars.
Right.
Bumps. Crevices. Sebaceous cysts, if you will.
Sure.
And
tattoos you forgot you got.
Yeah, those are that possibility. And gladly, I have as lovely a head as you, Brian, and you.
Thank you.
I have a lovely head.
You do.
Charlie has a beautiful head. I have a lovely head myself. So yeah. I could do it. I could let it all go. But I fear that with my face looking as my face does, like you have wonderful faces.
Thank
in
you.
General, but wonderful faces for bald heads. Whereas I feel correct. Like if I went bald, while the head would look good, There'd be a fat Nosferatu thing happening.
No.
A fat vampire thing happening.
Everybody's perspective on how they look is so skewed. You know what I mean? Because I saw your pictures on IG of when you shaved it down and stuff. And I was like, oh, you're set. You're good.
Yeah, I could do it. I'm still undecided. I have 3 weeks to the date of the surgery, the planned date of the surgery, to postpone the surgery. And we're not quite at that 3 week mark yet. So I've been thinking about it.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
For the surgery, do they, like if you shaved your head pre-surgery and just to sort of get another look at it, would that mess up them or would that make it easier for them to harvest?
Ooh. Oh, no. They need the hair on the side. They need this hair.
To move it around.
Yeah.
They need, because they take the hair from here in the back. They take a strip of hair. They cut you open.
Well,
and it's not no anesthesia either. It's local anesthetic.
Yeah, it's like in a moving vehicle.
So you're not put out. You're awake for the 7 hours they told me it's going to take.
What? Damn.
And you might actually have to go in for a follow-up.
Yeah,
Jesus Christ. That's
insane. And they are implanting hairs one by one. Mm-hmm. They told me I would need 2,500 implants to fill...
You want to do this for real?
Clearly, I don't. No.
Wow.
But Stanley Tucci is an inspiration.
You know, Stanley Tucci turned us down for this podcast, by the way.
Oh, did he?
Because he doesn't realize he's bald.
Flat out, no.
That's he said amazing.
I think his rep said he's not interested.
Right.
I take that as he's just not informed that people are still telling him that he has hair. And he's living a lie.
He might be being lied to. Yeah.
People protect these big stars, you know.
But, and he is a massive
big star. I mean, he's got that bigger. Show on CNN or something.
Yeah. He's eating food.
David, you're in New York, correct?
I'm in New Jersey, yes.
Okay. So you might run into Stanley. If you see him, tell him how much fun it was to do this show.
It is a chance. I've worked with Stanley before and he's been very kind to me. He's not a friend by any stretch of the imagination. So there's a chance that I would see him in the street and he would forget or ignore me or assume that I was in his agent's assistant or something like that.
Right.
But if I was bald, he'd assume I was his agent. Yeah. There you go.
Bald agents. Has anyone ever had a bald agent?
I had one for like a minute.
All my agents have been very hirsute.
Yeah.
My female agent is bald.
Seriously?
Is that real?
No, I hope not. Okay. No. She's not bald. I don't think. She has a nice head of hair. I don't look at women's hair for whether or not they're thinning or not.
Unless
it's very obvious and then it's sort of like, my God, you know, I feel bad, you know.
Oh, that's all I did. Now I just go up and check in. I don't care whose hair it is. Like my fingers go right to their head. I'm checking. I'm feeling around there. And I'm like, I have a podcast about this. It's fine. Yeah, don't worry about it. Whatever's happening.
I have a 4-year-old son who hates hair. He hates the hair on my body. He hates the hair on my legs, my arms, my chest, back, and what have you. And he hates the hair on my head because he's seen me shave it. And he liked the way that looked. And he hates his own hair. And just today, he got a faux hawk. He's 4.
Yeah.
It's a popular look here in New Jersey, even though it was popularized on children probably around 2004. Mm-hmm. He's a little behind the times. But he would like me very much to shave my head.
Yeah. So. I have the reverse of that. My daughter has said, I'm going to get to that point. I mean, I'm running out of anything. Mm. It's just going to be like, looks like I have a string hanging around the side of my head at some point. And she's like, just please don't shave your head. You're going to have such a weird looking head when it shaves. I don't want to be around you.
Your daughter bullies him.
Yeah.
Well, Brian, let me ask this question. You have a nice look in general. There is nothing.
I appreciate that.
You agreed, work the side hair very, very well. Nothing. I don't think you need to shave your head at all.
Okay.
Or touch it. Don't even touch it. Well, you're plenty bald. You're plenty bald.
Got that covered.
Do not do a comb over thing.
No, God, no.
You know, everybody knows you as bald.
Yeah.
I mean, you've established yourself as a bald man.
Yeah, and you're definitely the fact that we were both like, oh, I don't, maybe he's starting to lose his hair. Like, we had no idea of it because,
right. Well, you know, thank
and all your stuff. Because
they fill me in.
Yeah.
Once you showed me, I saw it. But other than that, I didn't know.
I figure if I can keep hold on to this long enough, if I can hold on to this, you know, front ponytail long enough,
right?
Then they will continue to fill me in.
Yeah.
So I may get another, like, who knows? I may get another 5, 6, 7 years out of this.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll look age appropriate to some extent to go bald, to shave it off.
You know? Well, I wanted to ask, because you have been doing this for a long time. Like, you are a child actor. And you've had an amazing, right?
I mean, a child actor.
A child actor.
I did. I started when I was a child actor. I started when I was 13, yes.
Right. So has growing up sort of on camera or, you know, being filmed and being kind of scrutinized all this time, has it ever done a number on you? Or have you just gotten used to sort of like, okay, my business is my, you know, my body and...
Done a mental number on me?
Yeah, I mean, I for me, like, I entered into this stuff very late. And even then, I remember saying to my friend Rob, who kind of got me into it, I was like, I'm just glad I don't have to worry about what I look like and stuff. That would be a nightmare. And then when I decided I want to be an actor, I was like, oh, I just stated the thing that I'm most worried about is that thing being scrutinized and kind of like right. worrying about
well,
how
that,
I look.
You hit the nail on the head.
Oh, thank you.
On the bald head.
Child actor thing is sort of a blessing and a curse, because if you're a beloved child actor, people don't want you to age or grow
right.
up. Mm-hmm. And that's a problem. Mm-hmm. And you are held under a greater scrutiny as an adult actor. If you were a good child actor, suddenly you must be a sort of better adult actor, or people feel that there's no progression, there's been no progression in your talent, you haven't matured as a human being. Not right. to mention, of course, the assumption that they think you're a drug addict or have been through horrible, you know,
which you have.
Sexual abuse,
and have, right.
which I have.
Mm-hmm.
Have I gone mentally insane as a result of being a child actor? Perhaps.
Well, I don't know if I said mentally insane. Okay.
Have I gone completely batshit fucking... crazy as a shithouse rat.
I don't think you're quoting Brian verbatim.
Maybe he's hearing it wrong.
There's no doubt
mm-hmm.
that I am in tatters. my soul is in tatters.
Mm-hmm.
I've just about had enough of this nonsense.
Yep.
Same.
I've been doing this for 30 years, which is a normal time. That it's when people usually retire a normal job.
Normal
being that I live here in Jersey, I'm around normal people with normal jobs.
Yep.
This is an abnormal profession in every imaginable way. I feel sick about it at this point. I don't have anything to look forward to. Even when I get jobs, I don't want to do them. And well, that's not true. I still want to work, but it's a nightmare on many levels, and the baldness adds to it in a way. Now, why am I bald? You ask, why am I bald? You didn't ask, but I'm going to tell you.
Let's find out.
Please.
My dad was bald, but I started balding. I had a nervous breakdown.
In real life? Mm. Is that real?
In real life, I had a nervous breakdown in 2000, the day after I got married. So I got married.
The day after?
Yes, sir.
Oh, wow.
The day after I got married, we decided we would get on a plane and fly to St. Bart's for our honeymoon.
Mm-hmm.
Now, mind you, this wedding was ridiculously expensive and stupid of me to spend that kind of money. I got married at the Plaza Hotel.
Oh,
damn. For
something
real?
To prove.
Yeah, man. Something to prove. And then went to got on a plane the next day to St. Bart's, got there, realized it's the off season in St. Bart's because the on season is winter. Mm-hmm. During the summer in St. Bart's, ain't nobody there.
Because it's hot as insanity.
Oh, shit.
Like, it's not even that hot. It's just the right. island is empty and everything's closed.
Oh, wow.
So we got there and we're like, wow, the only thing that's open is the resort that we're at.
That's kind of good though, right?
And no, it was bad because there was nobody at the resort.
You guys were in a Shining, the start of a new Shining movie.
Essentially, to some extent, it very much felt like it was island, you know, island fever, you know.
Yeah.
And the internet was out because there had been a storm and the TV didn't work. I lost my shit.
Oh, wow.
So I left my honeymoon 2 days after we got there and came back to New York. Because I was in such severe anxiety that I could not bear to stay for the remaining 6 days on my honeymoon. Which then leads to a 9-month crippling depression and anxiety panic spell in which I begin to lose this chunk here.
Right.
That's what started it all.
And I'm thinking, what the fuck? Like, my God, it was a horrific thing. I had made major financial mistakes, and I lived in a house with an elevator in it. I bought a house with an elevator in it.
I'm glad I asked.
Was that out east, or was that back here?
That was in the Hollywood Hills, down the street from Kanye West.
You had an elevator?
Yes, sir, I did.
Why?
I had a four-story mansion.
Why?
Because I was insane. Oh, I had lost my mind. The ego had... I was young. I've never had money. I was very stupid.
Can I ask? So your fiance at that? Did you have the house prior to the fiance?
Yes.
Or was
yes,
it okay?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, you already had it.
This was, believe it or not, meant to be the family home where we would begin a family.
Right.
But it was really not appropriate for that in any imaginable way. But long story short. 9 months. It was 9 months of complete and utter madness in which I didn't want to take an antidepressant, but every day was a recurring nightmare. I literally became deeply agoraphobic, could not leave the bed, could not leave the house.
Is this real?
This is 100% real. Learned how to meditate. I had daily appointments with, you know, psychiatrists and a psychologist.
Daily?
Daily. At one point, threatened to kill myself, almost ended up in the Ronald Reagan UCLA nut house over there at UCLA.
The Ronald Reagan library in Simi Valley.
No, the nut house. Oh. The Ronald Reagan nut house.
Oh, right.
There's a Ronald Reagan nut house. And
he emptied every other nut house.
Yeah. Well, he was trying to capitalize on. But
what I do.
And then here's what happened. I'm like, on all these, finally I give up and I'm like, I'll take any antidepressant. You know, I don't care. I can't live like this. I'm suffering. Whoa. I'm losing my fucking hair. And I go to a masseuse to get a full relaxation massage in Arizona because I need to relax. And massages are one of the things that get me to a sort of good place. So I went to this place called the Willow Stream Spa, and I had a wonderful masseuse named Bethany, who was sort of an unconventional masseuse in that she did not do the things a conventional masseuse would do.
Right.
It was very light touching, more of a sort of a energy deal thing.
Was it like, was it Reiki work? Was it that kind of thing?
No, no stretching. It wasn't any of that. But I will tell you what happened. At the end of the session, the last thing she did was she felt the front of my neck.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I honestly, not going to lie, I thought, what the fuck is she doing?
She's gonna strangle
no
me.
One has ever massaged here, these muscles. And I thought, this can't be worth anything. Mm-hmm. And my full relaxation massage ended with her telling me that she felt a tumor. Right?
Oh my God. Really?
So I think nothing of it, honestly.
Really?
But I'm thinking, I thought, because I couldn't feel it. I was like, what's she talking about? And I said it just like that, too.
in a sassy way. I like that.
And I went to, I just, thank God, had a physical 3 months later.
Mm.
And I did the physical, blood work, all this shit. I'm still a little depressed, but I'm starting to climb out of it a little bit. I've done a lot of work on myself. It's been a rough period of time. And And my doctor goes, you know, the obligatory, all right, well, you look good. Is there anything else you need to tell me? Question. And I say, you know, I got a massage recently, and she said she felt a lump on my neck. I don't know.
Her name's Bethany. We can't believe it.
Her name's Bethany, yes. Bethany Giolellis. She's amazing. And he felt around, and he was like, there's two lumps.
Oh,
and
I was God. Like,
your testicles are actually in your throat.
Yeah. So I had a biopsy on my neck, which was fun, the next day. And it turned out that the reason I had crippling depression and was losing my hair, and the reason I am continuing to lose my hair sort of rapidly to this day, is that I had like stage 3 thyroid cancer.
What?
Okay, which had spread to several lymph nodes. And when your thyroid is in operation,
oh, it's insane.
You essentially suffer with mental health.
Yeah.
And so everything suddenly made sense. It was like, oh, okay, because like, wait a second, that was pretty crazy. I went through 9 months of like every day freaking the hell out. And I've lost my hair and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got my full thyroid removed, and I am severely, technically severely hypothyroid. I have no thyroid. Right. I take the pill every day, Synthroid. Mm-hmm. And Bethany Giolellis saved my life full on.
Yeah.
Because it had spread to lymph nodes, and it would have gone my lungs next. But long story short, as a result of all these factors, the hair has thinned rapidly.
Right.
And I was known for my hair. You know,
yeah.
On Numbers, I had glorious long hair, curly locks, ringlets and what have you.
Yeah, totally.
And so the threat to my career that a lack of hair represents is a greater threat to me personally than dying of cancer.
No, no.
No,
here's my take on it. Here's my take on it.
You are okay. I live my life. You live. You know. I'm just from my. I think my perspective is a little. Go ahead.
No. I'm not trying to judge your life.
But I was going to say, if you died because of the cancer, bald or not, it wouldn't matter.
But I would have died with more hair.
Right.
Does that matter?
To me.
God. Okay. Yeah. Right.
To me.
Dude, that's terrible.
You're very kind, but you know, trying to frame it in a positive
way. Trying to get the order. Like, if he died, then it wouldn't matter. But
that's the husk man, baby. That's what he does.
I'm so sorry, dude. That's but that, you know, that like the big takeaway from that is literally. I mean, I'm like the total opposite of you. If someone says like, "Oh, it looks like you might have like a small thing on your what?" Okay, cancer. Like, I'm on. Anything that's like off on me, like I'll just get it investigated immediately.
Yeah.
My problem is it 5 p.m.? Can I drink yet?
Right.
Because I want the hurt to go away.
Yeah.
Is that bad?
Hey, it's 5 p.m. somewhere.
I'm a recovery. That's bad too. I mean, I'm a recovering alcoholic.
Yeah.
Are you really?
I am, yeah. So.
Oh, shit.
When going back to being a child actor and denying that I ever had a problem, no, being a child actor is very dangerous.
Yeah.
My daughter is 7. She's very talented. It's clear there's nothing we can do about it. If I wanted to prevent it, I couldn't. I wouldn't do that to her, but she's not getting into it until she's 16, 17,
yeah.
Which I feel is a safer
age.
Can,
like, kind of make her conscious decisions or whatever.
Yeah, right? Yeah, you know.
I get that.
The you know, and I'm only realizing recently, and I'm saying in the last like 2 months,
two months.
I might have been kind of a dick when I was 18, 19, 20, like with an ego.
I was a fucking asshole moron when I was that.
Yeah,
age.
But I had this movie star ego thing happened.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Oh, because you were famous too. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, and I'm starting to look back and be like, oh, man, I think I may have acted irresponsibly and treated people badly. And, you know, like, I really feel bad about it. Bad, really bad. Talking Bob, yeah!
This episode is brought to you by FanDuel. Football is back. And the best bet you can make is downloading the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It doesn't matter if you're new to gambling or an old pro, FanDuel has something for everyone. And as an official sports betting partner of the NFL, you know your bets are safe. There's also never been a better time to use FanDuel, because right now, you'll get up to $1,000 back if your first bet doesn't win. You can even turn a small wager into a big payday with a same-game parlay bet. Just sign up with the promo code Spotify to place your first bet risk-free on FanDuel Sportsbook. Download FanDuel today. 21 plus and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Oscar Ramirez, and I'm the host of The Daily Dive, a daily news podcast covering some of the top stories of the day. Every morning, I'll connect you with the writers and journalists who know the story so you can stay up to date and make informed decisions. On the podcast, we'll give you the latest on the pandemic and vaccine mandates, keep you in the loop on the world of politics and how it affects you, and give you the lowdown on tech and entertainment. Catch a fresh episode of the podcast every Monday through Friday. iHeartRadio is number one for podcasts, and it's easy to see why. Listen to The Daily Dive on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a story that captivated the nation.
Two brothers and their sister are on the run from authorities tonight.
Three close-knit siblings known as the Dougherty Gang go on a 15-state crime spree, evading police for 8 days.
Police say the trio have a stockpile of weapons.
Dylan, Ryan, and Lee Grace had nothing left to lose.
They're like modern-day Bonnie and Clyde.
Now, for the very first time, exclusive interviews with Doughertys from behind bars.
This call is from a federal prison.
My sister's a crazy one.
I was working at two different strip clubs doing a very large amount of drugs.
My brother's a muscle. The last time I spoke to my dad, he told me, look out for your little brother. Something I really took to heart. The youngest is the brain.
How far would you run for your freedom?
There's some things that you just can't take back. You've already started this party. You might as well have fun. And that's what we did.
Listen to The Dougherty Gang every Monday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Only on Bald Talk.
You know, we were joking before about like that thing of like protect, like Tucci being protected from the idea that he's bald. Like, just don't tell him. You know? But like, I feel like, I hope more and more that that kind of like, because that stuff is falling away, that people are just like, oh, let him be a piece of shit to other people. Like,
no, I think it's the opposite.
You think it's getting worse?
I think it's gotten to a point where you cannot. There, life's too short has become the new cardinal rule. Now, mind you, there are plenty of dicks, but I really believe that there's a lot of actors that have stopped working. I think the main criteria for continuing working, especially if you are a white actor, because right now we're not very interesting.
Yeah.
I really believe you have to be nice. You just have to be basically a very, 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 very nice person. And the dicky stuff is not tolerated anymore. And it never should have.
I know.
Been. It never should have been.
No, it never should.
It took on this whole mythos, you know what I mean? It there was something about the design of our business where it was about like, it's like the early, we were the predecessors to the sort of like corporate rating. It's like, if you can get away with it, I can do it, you know? And then the stories get out about it and it's kind of titillating and, oh my God, this guy, you know? And I feel like people are now like, oh yeah, those titillating stories result in human damage and scarring and that kind of thing.
People's lives being fucked up. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think Hollywood did sort of, you know, design the blueprint for the, you know, construction company in the middle of Minnesota for people to sort
of, you're just in my home state, bro.
I don't want problems with you.
I don't care.
But but for them to, for the CEOs of those companies to act like, you know, the whole thing was like, hey, I'm rich now. Let's treat this like we're having a Hollywood party, right? Like everything was the Hollywood thing.
That's totally true.
Totally.
Yeah. It's totally true. So I'm glad it's over because I'm a really nice person. I've always been nice person, except maybe when I was super young. And I feel like there was a nice guys finish last type thing sometimes in our business.
Yeah.
And now I feel it's the opposite.
Yeah.
Like all the biggest sort of names that I've worked with, I've been lucky to work with, are all super nice. It's always like the smaller stars, level stars, that are terrible. Yeah.
I've experienced that in showbiz for sure. Yeah.
I knew the booker at Letterman. I can't remember what period it was, but she said that the smaller first time, you know, celebrities that came on there were always the biggest pain in the ass and always put up the biggest kind of front. And then the people, and she's like, I'll say it, Tom Hanks is genuinely the nicest dude ever.
Right.
Effortless, doesn't make a thing, doesn't care, you know.
I've experienced that.
I've been lucky enough to work with Clooney and Robert Downey Jr. Mm-hmm. and Brad Pitt. I'm currently working with Woody Harrelson.
Oh, yeah.
Guys
yeah.
who have just been in 1,000 movies as the star
yeah.
for many, many years now. All the sweetest people.
Yeah.
Just the sweetest people. Welcoming, cheerleaders, taking on the leader role, being disarming, disarmingly charming to extras,
yeah.
you know, so that they don't feel like they're the gorilla on the set. I love those kinds of people. I feel that I was nasty when I was younger.
Mm.
And it was crystallized for me in a moment that I had with John Heder, the actor John mm-hmm. Heder, wonderful yep. actor who played Napoleon Dynamite, of course. And I'll tell you this story briefly. Did a small movie with him called Ghost Team a couple of years back.
Yeah.
Where he and I played best friends. And John Heder is truly a wonderful young man.
Yeah.
Wonderful guy. And we got along very, very well from moment one. And it was wonderful making this movie with him. And it was, you know, a month and a half of great joy and love. And we loved each other. And on the wrap day, the last day of shooting, the final day, I said, you know, John, I got to tell you, you're one of my favorite people I've ever worked with. And I loved working with you so much. And I'm going to miss you. I'm going to miss you. And he said, Dave, I got to tell you, I didn't want you to play this part.
Oh.
And I said, why? And he said, I thought you'd be a raging dick.
Oh, wow.
And I said, why? And I said, and, you know, I got really paranoid. I was like, why? Have you heard things like that? Has someone said that about me? And he was like, no, not at all. Never heard it about you. I just based on your work and a couple interviews I saw you give, pretty sure you'd be a raging dick.
Whoa.
And
kind of a weird thing to say.
And then I was like, I shouldn't have told you how much I like you.
I know. Well, I'm a dick now. Here it comes.
Yeah, now, shit, you want to see the dick. No,
So you're destroying him now, right? Like you're actively sort of seeking.
You're out to get him. That's why you're on this
podcast. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes, yeah, that's right. And he, especially because he has a lovely head of hair, and I don't. But anyway, that was a long way of saying life is torture. I'm sick of my face, and certainly. I've been doing this too long, and now the head, the hair is going to leave me.
You kind of got a cool, kind of a rockin' mohawk going.
The hair has the nerve to leave me. I feel that everyone is sick of my face. My face has practically been sewn into the great American pop culture quilt, and I feel now
you're like Mount Rushmore. You're the fifth face on Mount Rushmore.
I'm the fifth face on Hollywood's. Well, the Jewy Mount Rushmore, you know, because there's different ones. There's different Hollywood Rushmores.
Yeah. Mount Jewmore, yeah.
Mount Jewmore, yeah. But now the hair is going to leave me. It's horrifying.
Well, yeah. I mean, everybody, who was it? Somebody just talked about like losing their hair. It's like a hey, a long goodbye. That was a recent guest. And I thought that was a very apt, like, yeah, you're kind of, They hate a long goodbye. They hate that their hair is taking so long.
I thought you said something about Leah Salonga.
Oh no!
Remember the actress Leah Salonga?
No, but I'll act like I did.
I thought you meant the movie The Long Goodbye.
I meant both of those things. So you guys,
okay, all right,
stay with me. Just guys, stay with me on this.
Sorry.
But it's just the yeah. I kind of either got to make peace with it, or I mean, going back to what if you're thinking of doing it. Fucking do it. If anything you do.
Wait, are we still talking about the transplant?
We're
or
back
suicide?
To talking about the transplant, but
not suicide.
Oh, okay.
Don't
okay.
do that. No.
Because I suicide.
Don't do the transplant, but do the suicide.
No. Flip that.
Don't do the suicide.
Yeah.
Don't do suicide. Go gotcha. To a psychologist right. gotcha. Or something.
And definitely yeah, there's yeah, one that you don't want
to. Do yoga or find religion.
Right, right, right. right.
Stay okay, in that gotcha. Right.
Do not kill yourself.
Cool.
But yeah, because cool. it, like you said, there's no shame in it. There's no issue. But the bigger issue is probably like if you're hating it, you know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. I went my hatred of my head was college, which is the fucking worst time to do it because I was breaking up with this girl, was kind of like stringing me along, long distance relationship.
What was her name?
I'm still great friends with her. Name's Christy. She's a wonderful person.
Christy. Valdeseri, our guest.
I don't want anybody to
Brinkley?
Find her.
Brinkley?
Yeah, we have like rabid fans who will take revenge on people, and I don't want that to happen. Mm-hmm.
Copy that.
But I was
Christy Swanson.
So miserable in college. I hated it. I was like, I hated myself. I hated what was happening, and I just like... In retrospect, my thing is like I wasted that time so much because I was just so obsessed with like I'm getting old, like my hair, you know, like.
Can I say something about that might make you feel better?
Okay.
I don't think it had anything to do. I think the hair didn't help.
Mm-hmm.
The hair situation did not help.
Yeah.
But I think it did. I had an amazing head of hair in and around my early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking back at pictures, very handsome.
Mm.
And I thought I was the ugliest, most unattractive, most unappealing thing on earth.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, really?
So what I to make you feel a little better, there's a good chance, Brian, that had you had a full head of glorious hair like I did at that age, you still would have felt unattractive.
I completely agree.
Because women are... you know, I don't know if you're like me, but I'm one of these guys that puts women on a pedestal. And once you do that, you certainly nothing you can do is good enough. Nothing you can be is good enough for a woman.
Yeah.
And it took me a very long time to realize that I was even a palatable person to look at for more than 2 seconds, for a woman to look at for more than 2 seconds. So, I mean, really, truly, I thought I was the ugliest thing for a long time.
Yeah. I mean, I think that kind of go back to what I was saying earlier is like everyone's self-view, I mean, not everyone, but most people's self-view is, unless they're kind of a sociopath or something, and they're just like, oh my God, I'm amazing, or a narcissist or something. Mm-hmm. Most people are pretty critical of themselves and their value and how other people perceive them.
Mm-hmm.
And my thing is like, I would have people, you know, I'd hear that a girl had a crush on me and I would rationalize it as like, I think you misheard that, or they probably just think
she feels bad for me.
They feel bad for me. They just think I'm funny, that, you know, right. I would never sort of like accept the thing. You're like, no, they think that you are physically cute. And I'd be like, well, maybe it's the lighting. I don't know.
Can I go as far as to say that I have been watching your work for years?
Oh, cool.
And I feel strongly that you have one of the more palatable faces.
Hmm.
Forget the head. Forget the head.
Head's gone.
Gone. Imagine you have no head. Everything from here down is one of the most interesting and palatable and kind, sort of just brilliantly expressive
aww.
Faces. So,
thank
yeah.
you,
yes, that's how I feel about you.
I appreciate
I like looking at your face. It makes me think there are nice people in the world.
Oh, nice. I'm gonna use that. I'm gonna use that for evil.
I have a theory, and I've had this theory for a very long time. And I don't really tell many people it because it sounds a little cuckoo, but I've already crossed that bridge on this podcast.
Well, we haven't been recording, so go ahead.
Oh, it's good.
Fine. Yeah, we haven't hit record yet.
Oh,
just about
shoot.
To start.
I have, so I get. So I believe that people define themselves as children,
mm-hmm.
define themselves by certain things, very specific things. Their age. I think your age defines you. I think when you are 35, you think to yourself, I must act like what I thought 35 was when I was 7.
Mm.
Okay, so I think age is a big deal. I think the moment you start realizing I'm going to get older, and at one point, I'm 12 years old now, let's say, and I'm going to be 40. Who am I going to be at 40? And I have to act whatever the 12-year-old thinks a 40-year-old acts like, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I also think that a name names have a lot to do with it, right? So it's no mistake that most Harolds and Howards look like Harolds and Howards. Now, there are a few Harolds and Howards that are quite handsome and quite dashing and Brad Pitt-esque. But how many times have you met a Harold or a Howard that looks like, you know, Robert Carradine in Revenge of the Nerds.
Right.
Howies look like Howies, Howards. The opposite is true. Brad Pitt and you know, these kinds of people.
Yeah.
But the face, I think some children are born, besides the ugly ones, they're born with angry faces, serious faces.
Mm-hmm.
Literally the facial structure, something they couldn't help, the genetic facial structure. And they look at themselves in the mirror and they become that on some level. I think funny people look funny and became funny because it was like, what came first, the chicken or the egg?
Mm.
I think funny people become funny because they look funny. And they've always, and as children, they thought they looked funny. In your case, if I may, in both of your cases.
Sure.
In your case, Brian, I think you looked in the mirror as a kid and saw a lighthearted, very sort of fluid, liquid fluid thing. You saw potential for comedy, but also for like heartfelt stuff. And I think you embody that. And Charlie, if I must be honest with you, I think you looked in the mirror and saw you saw a sort
go
of
a
chunky clown, you know, like chunky clown.
I hear that.
And you thought I'm going to be, because I know as a kid, I looked in the mirror and I was like, you look funny. And so I became funny. Is that makes? I really believe those are factors.
Because it's like,
yeah.
Well, what
they're inert psychological instinctual factors.
I do. One thing I'm going to add to any intro you do is face readings now, because
I do face readings,
and you have a website for that, right?
I do. Yes. If you, it's. Yeah.
Grumholtzfacereadings.net.
I was going to try to come up with something.
It's
more
called thatlook.com.
From thatlook.com.
Strawberry Spring, based on a short story by Stephen King.
Is someone there? I can't see you through the fog. Oh, it's you, thank God. Oh, please! No, don't! Help!
Now, there was a murder on the campus of New Sharon College. Sources close to the investigation tell us that it was a female co-ed, late teens to early 20s. We'll have more.
Hello.
Henry, have you heard the news?
Yeah, just now on the radio.
There was a murder on campus. It has all the signs.
Are you telling me?
We can't be sure, but as of right now, it looks like Spring-Heeled Jack is back.
Strawberry Spring, starring Garrett Hedlund and Milo Ventimiglia. Produced by Audio Up Media and iHeartRadio. Listen to Strawberry Spring on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you know there are thousands of active cults in America today?
Political cults, sex cults, acting class cults.
But do you ever wonder, who are the individuals who get manipulated into them? I'm Liz Iacuzzi.
I'm Tyler Meesom. Was I in a Cult is a documentary podcast showcasing the raw, dynamic, and inspiring firsthand stories of individuals who got in.
And most importantly, got out of a cult.
The truth is, cults are never what they seem.
Because what you sign up for is not what you get.
This is what happens. God sends a she-bear.
They'll find a way to sedate you.
Sometimes you would hear kids being beat for, like, it seemed like hours.
I remember people literally running out of the class screaming.
Go into the temple and have roast beef with Jesus.
So we then turned our calorie deficit into something that meant more, because Keith likes his girls skinny.
Why are people so obsessed with cults?
Maybe because it could happen to anyone.
And we should know.
Because it happened to us. Listen to Was I in a Cult? Every Wednesday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, everyone. Al Roker here. As a guy with his own catchphrase, I appreciate that Smokey's only said,
"Only you can prevent wildfires."
But I'm filling in because there's a lot more to report. Like when there are parched or windy conditions out there, you gotta be extra careful with things like burning yard waste. After all, wildfires can start anywhere, even in your neck of the woods. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Talking Bald, yeah!
My daughter, she's gorgeous. Like, she's, and in a problematic way now. She's like, just, she's 14, and she's only recently has become like, oh my God, you are very attractive, and you're becoming a woman, and it's all happening. And but she does not see that about herself. She thinks she looks weird, and she, you know, and
it's probably a good thing.
Yeah, I think so. But there's a little bit there.
I think we all thought that at that age.
There's a little sliver there that's a little bit of like, well, if you keep telling you that message, that's going to solidify in your brain, and you might end up in that thing of like, no, you will never accept. Because part of – there is something about receiving, you know what I mean, receiving compliments from people. You know, if you're in a place where you can't receive a compliment – that's so much about you and where you are with yourself and stuff.
Right. Of course.
Yeah.
And so I'm at this place where I'm like, I kind of want you to receive the compliment, because part of it is like, you're acknowledging someone else's kindness, but you're also opening yourself up to like, I don't know everything. I should have, you know, some other perspective is important.
Well, if it's empirically true, mm-hmm. that she is beautiful.
And I'm going to make, I mean, I'm going to, listen, she's a child model, acting as soon as possible. She has no talent, but I'm going to just force that just down her throat. Right. Yes.
Right.
Because I need to make, I don't want to act anymore.
You want to make a little dough off this thing.
Whatever it takes to convince her, to have her know her own truth is important. But is she a good person?
Yeah, she's an excellent person.
Okay, well, that's good.
Yeah. So... Yeah, I might have been. And then the other thing with my face reading, it is interesting what I sought to make myself funny. I would actively spend a lot of time in front of the mirror making faces, trying to ape eyebrow raising and that kind of thing.
Me too.
And I.
Damn, that kind of paid off for you, huh?
For us? Everyone? Everyone here.
For you. No, you specifically. I guess. Like your career. Like,
yeah, I guess so.
I think of you as like an actor that has like. Peter Sellers-esque kind of reactions.
This is one of my favorite episodes because I'm getting a lot of compliments. Thanks, guys. Yeah.
But no, I'm being dead serious, though. I think that paid off.
Yeah, but it is interesting because when you say that, David, it's like, do we gravitate towards funny because we think we look funny? Or I feel like for me, I was deeply excited by adults. Maybe this is sort of ties into what you're saying, like seeing a 40-year-old and how they act. I was deeply excited by seeing adults who are acting idiotic. Mm. And I wanted to set that up. I wanted to pursue that. I was like, fuck, if I can do that, if you can be an adult and act like insane and get people to laugh, that's amazing. You know,
that's pretty dope. Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, I feel I did the same thing. You know, my heroes were my comedy heroes were people that were essentially insolent characters, you know.
What does that mean?
The insolent means like, what is insolent?
Like rebellious or something?
A slightly rebellious, but also kind of precocious, mischievous, right?
Like Bill Murray.
Bill Murray and Eddie Murphy, the two of them. Okay. I was like, when I was a kid, they're just ridiculous, you know? John Candy in Uncle, you know. Like,
John Candy's my ultimate guy.
Whereas people like Steve Martin, it took me many years, and he acted super goofy. Mm-hmm. But it took me, he was so goofy that I thought, well.
I'm uncomfortable.
There's no way that anyone could really get away with this.
Right.
And so it took me longer. But the people who I felt were grounded in their goofiness, who were just funny people, like. I do also believe that people are born funny.
I really believe.
There are very funny people who are not born funny by any stretch of the imagination, who hone it, learn it, understand it, sort of feel it. And it's like picking, you know, songs out of the air, like hearing music in the air. And, you know, it's in the air and they find it. But I also think, like, you know, Tracy Morgan or J.B. Smoove or Mel Brooks. I mean, like, born funny people who look funny and, like, they're just meant to be funny. You know, they're just, that was their calling. It was whether they liked it or not.
Were you pursuing, when you started out, did you want to do comedy or did you not care? Were you like, I will be, I'll do comedy, I'll do dramatic work?
Man, I got so lucky getting in the industry. I literally got discovered, like, and then given a big part in a Broadway play, and then, like, and then before I know it, I was in three studio movies. So frankly, man, I didn't care. But I knew I was funny, and I knew I wanted to be on Saturday Night Live really bad. And once that never happened, and I realized recently that it never will. It never will.
You never know.
Leslie Jones, then, you know, they're...
Yeah, she was older.
Yeah.
Can I tell you randomly the story of when I, the one time I was at Saturday Night Live? It's a pretty great story.
Is it?
Pretty horrible story.
Please tell.
The cocaine related?
It has nothing to do with drugs whatsoever.
All right, fine. We try to get one drug story in every episode. Fine. Okay.
All right. So I'm excited to be at the Saturday Night Live. For me, it's a humongous dream come true. I've literally only ever seen it on TV, and I've gotten to know certain people who were on it. But I myself, you know, here I was at what I considered one of the meccas, if not the mecca, of where I learned to appreciate comedy.
Right.
And James Franco, of all people, was hosting the show. And And then Seth Rogen was a guest actor on the show. He was going to do one skit, and so Seth was there. Seth had invited me. He said, "Come down, you know, whatever." And I said, "Okay." And I
hung out.
Thanks so much, man. So anyway, thanks so much, man. So I went there, and I hung back there with the backstage, and then he said, "I'm going out. We're going to do our scene." And mind you, this is live television, of course. And he goes, "Come
SNL
out, come out onto the floor with me, you know." And I'm like, "Oh, cool! I get to be on the set, like, you know." And this is only like 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And I follow him onto the set, and they're at a commercial break, and, you know, it's like a, you know, 2.5 minute commercial break, 3 minute commercial break. And they are preparing for their bit.
Yeah.
And there's James Franco, and he's holding a large cup of coffee, a large cup of hot coffee. And I see him, and I don't know him extremely well at that point, but I he was at my wedding because my wife was friends with his girlfriend, and he hadn't seen me in a while. And of course, we worked together on This Is the End briefly. And anyway, he was happy to see me, and he goes, "Hey, Krumholtz." And this, they're about to go live, and I walked toward him, tripped over a a cable, a television camera cable, and fell into him.
Oh, dear God.
His coffee blew up out of the cup into the air and landed all over my head. Thank God, because they were about to go live in like 30 seconds. Had it landed on him, he would have had to have changed his wardrobe, and it was a big problem. And the worst part of it,
I was kind of hoping was that,
and it was so embarrassing. The crowd saw it, and even the crowd was like, I remember the crowd being like, like, because it looked like he was being attacked by somebody.
Who is this maniac?
I'm dripping coffee. There's coffee in my hair, in my mouth, all over my ears, and what have you. And the worst part was that security also thought that I had attacked James Franco and grabbed me quite brusquely.
Oh, those guys are scary.
And were about to throw me out until James and Seth said, no, don't throw him out. You know,
we have to. He's bald. So, get rid of him.
And I have not been back to Saturday Night Live since. And so, isn't that a sad, story?
That sounds like a, that is just substitute that setting for, like, it was the middle school dance. And I was going over to the punch bowl. And the next thing I and Tracy Bonaro was right there, and I tripped into it.
Yeah.
Huskman, you must remember those dudes from Conan and shit, right? Like, they're retired or off-duty cops.
Oh, yeah.
That were the security guards, and they're like some scary-ass motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You don't want to fuck with those dudes. They'll fucking fuck you up.
Yes, because they have in their mind, like, I have to protect the most important people in the world, celebrities, no matter what.
Right. Which is why I always, whenever I find myself in a tiff with a police officer or a person in authority position for some misunderstanding, I'm Bernard, the head elf. I'm the elf.
That's right.
I'm the elf from the movie.
Oh, shit, you are. All right.
Bernard,
okay.
How you doing?
All right.
How you doing, Bernard?
Works every time.
That's cool. You can pull up on the sidewalk all you want.
I'm sure we're near wrapping up here at this point, but David, I got to ask you.
Yeah.
Is that a fucking Mets shirt you got on?
No, this is a Knicks jersey
thing. Oh, Knicks. Okay. Ooh.
Yeah.
Was that your hard-hitting question for him?
Why? Because you're a Dodgers fan? No, I think...
I'm a Dodgers fan, yeah. I was going to give you some...
Yeah, I don't give a shit about the Mets. I grew up in Queens, but I'm a Yankees fan, so... I'd love to see a Yankees-Dodgers World Series. So there you go.
Damn, that would be the fucking shit.
That would be the best.
I wish that would happen, yeah.
I want to ask David, before we go, you know... Okay, well, recap real fast. Get the surgery or don't. Doesn't matter. You're beautiful.
We love you either way.
Thank you so much.
We love you either way.
Let's remind the audience so that they can comment and give their opinion.
Full bald patch.
So we'll just say it's a little hazy. There's some... It's not full.
David Cornholtz has a full bald patch.
He doesn't have a full...
Not full, but it's getting there.
At this point, you have 70s balding, which is like... 70s balding is like, you know... Nobody gives a shit.
It's kind of cool, actually.
No, yeah, I can make it work for myself. Yeah.
Right. And I know you're working on White House Plumbers, right? Which is 70s.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's this. If I could time travel, it wouldn't be that far back in time, but I would maybe be an adult in the 70s because hair could just look insane there.
It could be crazy. You know what I mean?
It could be like the grossest comb over in America. It's like, hey, man, looking pretty good.
People stop caring about hair.
Yeah.
They just stop caring. That too much emphasis was put on hair in the 80s. It became a whole thing because people were playing with it. They were playing with it like I'm playing with it now.
Yeah.
And you know, so yeah.
But I was going to, the other thing, let's recap, like get the hair done, don't, you're beautiful. But where can people see you in any one of your three Grateful Dead cover bands?
Ah, thank you so much.
Oh, I wanted to talk about the Grateful Dead.
It's important to... What you want to do is you want to be in the upper New Jersey or lower upstate New York sort of border there.
Yeah.
You want to be in that area and you want to go on a Facebook events page and you want to look up these three bands. One of them is called Touch of Grey.
Right now,
the Touch of Grey fan page is down because our band leader got in trouble for posting too many places. too many public groups. But then there's a group called Dead Meat. They are great and wonderful, and you can look them up. Dead Meat.
M-E-E-T.
M-E-A-T.
Gross.
Dead Meat. Like Dead Meat. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
M-E-A-T. Okay. They're great. You can look them up. They're amazing. We play... these bands play every weekend. I'm busy every weekend. And then the other band is a band called One Man Gathers. One Man Gathers. Or OMG, if you will.
Oh my God!
The branding thing. Love that.
That's good.
And that's a lot of fun. And another really great band, very talented musicians, and me.
And then in these bands, you sing and play congos.
That's correct.
I love that.
I sing, play, and I play percussion. Yes, and
all sorts of percussion, or just because I've seen you hitting the skins.
I refuse to use a shaker.
Yeah.
It's too much pressure.
Mm-hmm.
A washboard is not happening. I won't even mess with a cowbell.
Okay.
I just like hitting
bongos
and congas and making a sort of Afro-Cuban sound.
I saw some video the other day of like, you know, this band just jamming out, and there was this one guy on his shaker up at the mic and just selling the crap out of it. And no matter how hard he just looked like he was jamming, he looked dumb. He just looks.
Yeah. I don't like the way it looks and the pressure. Because if you miss it.
Yeah.
And you have to catch up, you ruin an entire song.
Yeah.
It's got to be the one, you're playing one thing the whole time. So gosh forbid you go.
But that's where you communicate to the band. If you miss it, if you go off, just it's a shaker solo. Just let them vamp.
Yeah, right.
Just let them go. Let the dragon fly. Yeah.
And then you're tempted to make little noises like.
Just get it in there.
And the band looks at you like really pissed off. But, yeah.
I'm a low level Dead fan.
Okay.
Like I'm not into the deep. I want to be into it.
Yeah.
Anxious to be into the deep Dead shit, but
I have like the studio.
I literally maybe like a year ago, I think Owen gave me an album.
Okay.
Franklin's Tower. I love that song.
You love that song, yeah.
Is that
that's good? That's good. That's a good thing. It's a good start.
I like Working Man's Dead, and that's it. I went through. So Tim was dating Missy. Missy's best friend was Ann Harris. Missy was really into the Dead. So Tim started to become into the Dead. This is all ninth grade. So then I have to start to like the Dead too. But I hated the Dead. I hated them so much. And we would go to shows and it was an opportunity to smoke pot. And that was exciting.
Right.
And then we went to a show where we didn't. And I hated the music. I hated all the people.
You either love them or you don't.
I tried real hard. My girlfriend's really into them. And early on, I was like.
I had a limited knowledge on some level. I mean, I knew a couple albums. I knew American Beauty. And I knew songs from a live album that I had that they did in the early 70s. And I knew Blues for Allah. I love that album.
Right.
And that was enough to get me entry into these bands. And being in the bands, I've learned every song.
Like, yeah.
I know every album. And some of them are annoying. You know, some of them are not amazing songs. But
what about Ripple?
Ripple's good.
Ripple. I fucking love
Ripple. Ripple gets annoying.
It does.
A while. Okay. It's a wonderful poem. Brilliant lyrics, maybe the most brilliant lyrics put to music, arguably. Obviously, there's Bob Dylan songs and what have you. Ripple is a wonderful song, but you play it every night and it ends every show. And people are always like, Ripple!
I probably would be that guy.
Somehow they can't go home without hearing fucking Ripple.
Ripple!
So that song right now is annoying me a little bit. I've been playing it too much.
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
Working Man's Dead is also good. So I like two albums.
Yes.
Okay, I'm starting to change. All right, you know what? I love them. I just decided
I like Franklin's Tower and Ripple. That's what I've been
into. Franklin's Tower is on Blues for Allah, so that's
it. It is?
Yeah, I love that.
I think I have like a greatest hits.
Oh, Jesus.
That's bad.
Well, cool.
Well, thanks for coming to Bald Guys Talk About the Grateful Dead.
Thanks,
man. Thanks. We went deep tonight. We went really deep.
I'm glad we finally did it.
Yeah, man.
Please don't sue me. And
it
was wonderful.
No suing.
Oh, no suing. No suing. And thanks. Your stories are amazing. And thank you for sharing a bunch of stuff that hopefully a lot of people will be like, yeah, get your thyroid checked out. Or if you're not feeling good, you know,
get the help. It might be a physical malady.
It could be.
It might not be all mental. Yeah.
That's it, guys. Thanks for listening. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at Bald Talk Pod. Rate, review, download, and listen.
We're also on Twitter at Bald Talk Podcast.
All right, y'all. Thanks, David. Thanks for joining us, man. Good to talk
to you.
Thanks,
David. Really appreciate it. Have a good one.
This was fun. Thanks so much, man. Yeah, absolutely.
Everyone, shave your head or get the surgery you want.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Someone to talk to. Brian and Charlie have a hairless party. They are all there to invite you. No hairdos, no shampoos, interviews, only on Bald Talk.
Hey guys, this is Maddie and Kenzie Ziegler, and we have a podcast called Take 20. We want to kick back and hang out with you, but we know you're busy, so let's take 20 every week to talk, to vent, to get real. 20 minutes to catch up and talk about everything that's on our minds and yours.
Listen with us for 20 minutes when you're in the car, putting on makeup, working out, cleaning your room, avoiding doing your homework.
Take a break from whatever you have to do and hang out with us.
Listen to Take 20 on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If a natural disaster comes knocking, how prepared is your family? You can't just close the door on earthquakes, floods, or hurricanes and hope they go away. That's why it's important to make a plan now. Ready.gov/plan has the tools and tips you need to prepare your family for an emergency. So if disaster shows up at your doorstep, you'll be ready. Visit ready.gov/plan and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
I'm Oscar Ramirez, and I'm the host of The Daily Dive, a daily news podcast covering some of the top stories of the day. Every morning, I'll connect you with the writers and journalists who know the story so you can stay up to date and make informed decisions. On the podcast, we'll give you the latest on the pandemic and vaccine mandates, keep you in the loop on the world of politics and how it affects you, and give you the lowdown on tech and entertainment. Catch a fresh episode of the podcast every Monday through Friday. iHeartRadio is number one for podcasts, and it's easy to see why. Listen to The Daily Dive on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.